Welcome to the Devin Nunes Podcast. Breaking through the political noise, separating fact from fiction. From the San Joaquin Valley, the breadbasket of the solar system. Here is your host, Devin Nunes.
Welcome back to the Devin Nunes Podcast special edition. I wanted to bring back a couple episodes that we did back in late 2018 with a longtime forestry industry person named Steve Brink. He's one of the senior folks that we have in the state of California. He knows all of the mountain areas and has spent his whole career working in our mountains, in the Sierra Nevadas. And a couple of years ago, we did some in-depth research on what was causing these forest fires and what had to be done to fix it. So I wanted to bring these back because this is just common sense. It's things that we know about, that our government should know about, and we should not be tolerating these politicians that happen to be mostly the Democrats and the socialists who continue to blame global warming. It's infuriating because we've known better. We've known exactly what's going on. A little side note to this is I want to thank Visalia Lumber Company, and I want to give my condolences to Steve Hedstrom. He was so kind to let us use his office back in late 2018, and Visalia Lumber Company is still in operation, but unfortunately, Mr. Hedstrom passed away, so we want to pass on our condolences to his family. With that said, this would be something that he really believed in, and I think all the people in the Valley need to understand what's at stake here, and we need to stick to the facts, get the facts, and then make public policy changes that will matter so that we don't have the type of air quality that we have and that we can bring back jobs to the Valley in the timber industry. That's my dream. That's my hope. So enjoy this special edition. Devin Nunes, we'll catch you next week.
Hi, welcome to the Devin Nunes Podcast. We are here at Visalia Lumber Company in Visalia, California. Visalia Lumber Company is owned by Steve and Marianne Hedstrom, and it was started in 1932. We picked Visalia Lumber Company today because on this week's podcast, we're going to talk about the forest fires and brush fires that have been occurring in California. And I am delighted today to have with us Steve Brink from the California Foresters Association. He's the vice president there. Prior to that, he served nearly four decades working for the U.S. Forest Service. So he is a renowned expert in the state of California. He has been watching these fires for many, many years. I guess, Steve, in total, it's been almost 50 years you've been doing this, which is a lot of real life experience that we have here on our show today. And we're going to first go through, start with, for those of you who are out there that don't know California very well, Steve can kind of walk you through the different regions of California. Here in the San Joaquin Valley, we look up at the Sierra Nevadas with the Sequoia Monument, Yosemite National Park, and so on and so forth, and as you go farther north. So Steve, can you walk our listeners through first where these fires have been and the forests that have been affected and kind of how many acres have been affected over the last few years? And Steve, welcome to the show.
Thank you very much. Thank you for inviting me. Yeah, so the landscape of California is essentially, many of your listeners know about the Sierra Nevada mountain range, which starts east of Bakersfield, Lake Isabella, and runs basically to Mount Shasta. And then across the top of the state, up against the Oregon border, is the Klamath Mountains, which is the Klamath River Basin. And then down the west side of the state is the Coast Range, down towards Monterey, San Luis Obispo, and then you change into chaparral, or often known as brush. And so your whole LA Basin, San Diego, San Bernardino, that's all part of the Southern California, which has the lion's share of the brush, unfortunately, as their main vegetative type.
For our national listeners, California is like a country. And so when we talk about the Sierra Nevada mountain range, that's where you're going to see the larger trees. And correct me if I'm wrong, because I'm going to forget one of the there's a few different varieties, but pine is the main variety, right?
Yeah, pine and fir.
Pine and fir.
And and cedar.
Those are the three main varieties. Those are the big trees that you would see in your typical forest. And then in the other areas, when you get closer to Los Angeles and closer to the coastal mountains, it's going to be more brush, along with California oaks, which I don't know if they're called California oaks. That's what I call them.
Yeah.
But you're going to just smaller trees, a lot of oak trees, a lot more brush. Did I describe that correctly?
Yes, that's right. And then the southeast part of the state is the Mojave Desert. It's mostly desert, which is a driver for the Southern California fires because you get what they call Santa Ana winds off that desert to blow east to west, sometimes up to 80 miles an hour. And, of course, those are hot and dry, and that's why you get the explosive fires in the brush in Southern California.
Steve, one of the things that I hear a lot as I'm traveling is people always say, oh, my gosh, it's so dry. I just heard you guys haven't had any rain for months there in California. And I always have to stop and explain to people, look, we're a Mediterranean climate. It is quite normal for us not to have rain for 5, 6, 7, 8 months out of the year. And that's one of the challenges here that people don't realize as trees continue to grow, as we've been cutting less and less trees, we've been not maintaining the forests. And with this Mediterranean climate, it has nothing to do with a drought or lack of water as much as it is. It's just a fact that we have not had proper forest management. And can you walk us through, kind of, if you could, those management challenges and how they've changed over the last, since you've been involved in this industry, kind of what we used to do and now what we're doing today and what's led to these catastrophic fires which have burned, you know, hundreds and hundreds of thousands of acres?
Yeah, and the forest lands, the biggest problem is on the federal lands, the national forests. We're, you know, just a couple of numbers for some context. The national forests in California grow at the rate of 4 billion board feet per year. The Forest Service annually only removes less than 10% of that annual growth. And so the forests just keep growing and growing and growing, getting denser and denser and denser. And we see that in the inventories. It's just they're up over now on average with over 300 trees per acre. When they're really in a Mediterranean climate. Sorry about that.
That sounds like a train. You're by a train somewhere.
Yeah, a train behind me. The Mediterranean climate, as you said, 6, 7 months of dry weather, and that's why we get the big fires usually in the fall, because there's no moisture in the vegetation. So if you get an ignition, if you got any wind, you're going to have a big fire. But it's the grossly overly dense situation on the national forest that just compounds that.
You mentioned the 4 billion. The 4 billion. What did you call it? It was
the 4 billion board feet per year of annual growth.
Board feet. So that's what's being added, and you're only today we're only taking out 10% of that.
Yeah.
What was happening, you know, 2, 3, 4 decades ago when you would add, so there would be 4 billion of growth, how much would we take out on an annual basis?
More in the neighborhood of 40 to 50% of the annual growth would be removed, which is what you would want to see over time, because you want to put growth on bigger trees. And so you're not going to take all the annual growth every year. 40 or 50% is probably about right. And that's where we were at up until the spotted owl crisis in the early 1990s. And that's when the harvest levels dropped about 80% in California on the national forest.
And prior to that, when I was a kid, and you would know better than me, because you've been following this for so long, but we did not have these types of fires back in the 60s, 70s, and 80s. I mean, these really started in the 2000s, and of course, this decade has just been catastrophic over the last few years.
Yeah, typically in the 60s and 70s, as I recall, a big fire was 15,000 acres, and now they're 100,000 to 200,000 acres. Yeah, it's just grossly dense number of trees. There's just too much vegetation on the landscape, and it just can't support that. The research has been clear that, you know, 100 years ago, 20 trees or maybe a little more was typical on the landscape. Now we got 300. And so it's just way too dense. And so as a result, since 2011 on the national forests in California, we're burning on average, 378,000 acres a year just on the national forest.
378,000 acres a year. Since what? Since 2011?
11, yeah. And the Forest Service has only been able to do fuels reduction on, it's generally been in the 160,000 acres per year range. They did very well this year. They got up to 220,000, which is great, but it's still far short. And they know it's far short of where they would like to be.
And one of the challenges now, too, is because they limited the access to the forest, the limited amount of trees that we could take down, they limited the amount of fire breaks that you could build. A couple things have happened. First and foremost, the free market. A lot of the timber industry is essentially gone from this state. You see, like in the area, my area, we used to have four or five different companies that that would do tree removal and produce lumber, like that's sold right here out of the place where we're at Visalia Lumber Company in the San Joaquin Valley. Today, that's no longer. We're down to just one timber mill in the southern San Joaquin Valley. And I know up in the north there's a few more, but still I would assume that probably 80% of the capacity has also dropped over the last 20 years.
That's exactly right. As the harvest dropped, the infrastructure dropped proportionately as well. We now have 30 active sawmills, medium-large sawmills in the state. Sierra Forest Products there at Carabella is the furthest south in the whole state of an active operating sawmill. Back in the early 80s, we had 151 medium and large size sawmills, and today we have 30. So you're exactly right.
What has this meant also to the sale of timber? So I'm assuming back in, you know, what percentage of the lumber that would go to build homes and infrastructure here in California. Let's just take like a year in the 1980s. What was the average amount that was imported into the state from either another state or another country versus today, which I would imagine is quite a bit higher of the amount of timber that we have to import, which means jobs, high paying jobs that should be here, very technical work going up and removing trees and creating timber out of those trees. Very high-paying jobs that are no longer located here. Those jobs have now moved to other states and other countries. Do you have a number of what the percentage of trees or lumber that we now import versus 30 years ago?
Yeah, today we're in the 70% to 80%
of import
range as far as import. Yeah,
mm-hmm.
And it was more like probably 40% or 50% 30, 40 years ago when we were harvesting substantially more. Now, the good news about California's forest infrastructure is we do process everything that's harvested in the state is processed in the state, in the lumber or veneer for plywood. But it's a global marketplace, so it all doesn't stay in the state. I think it's in the neighborhood 63% stays in the state and is used in the state, but there it's a niche market everywhere. For example, fir, the East Coast likes fir for framing lumber instead of their southern pine, because you can drive a nail in the fir where you can't in a piece of pine. You just bend nails all day, and so you're in competition all over the country as well as outside of the country. It's a global marketplace that you have to compete in. So you got to be extremely efficient to stay in business, not just in California, but anywhere in the forest business in the United States.
So today on today's podcast, we've talked about the problems, the challenges, the catastrophic fires, the problems that it's created here in the San Joaquin Valley and all over California. And we're with Steve Brink, who is the vice president of the California Forestry Association. Steve, I thank you for describing the problem. On next week's podcast, we're going to have you back on, and we're going to discuss solutions to the challenges that we have here in California's forests and rangelands. So, Steve, thank you for being with us. We look forward to hearing the solutions on the next podcast. This is Devin Nunes. Signing off until next time on the Devin Nunes Podcast. We'll see you then. Welcome to another edition of the Devin Nunes Podcast, where we try to bring the San Joaquin Valley flavor to the state and national scene. We are back with Steve Brink, who on the last podcast talked about a lot of the challenges that we're having in our California forests and rangeland in terms of having fires, catastrophic fires, where you've seen massive smoke just in the region that I live in, all over California. You've had airport closures, school closures, high school football games have been canceled. It's like nothing that I've ever seen or experienced. And unfortunately, we've had a lot of the politicians who have continued to do things like blame global warming, blame the weather, blame anybody but themselves for the canary in the coal mine, which we've been mentioning from here in the San Joaquin Valley for years, that if you don't do something to stop these fires, you're going to burn the entire forest up. And as Steve mentioned on the last podcast, he talked about how we went from fires that would average 15,000 acres to now fires that are so large, you're talking about hundreds of thousands of acres that are uncontrollable with fuel that's forcing these fires to burn at a rapid pace. So now, Steve, welcome back, and I want to talk about the solutions. So if you could do one thing and do it quickly and do it right, what would that be?
So where we're at now in California is with these fires now that have burned communities, it's become painfully obvious that public safety is the number one issue. And so the thing we know from studies is that 88% of all fire starts are human caused, and 95% of those are near a road. So we believe if we just put all effort into fire breaks on both sides of open roads, we can dramatically reduce the number of starts. And with those fire breaks.
Now, when you say open roads, are you talking only about like your kind of county blacktop roads, or are you also talking about the roads that are back in the forest that were at one time were used for people to ride, to have Jeeps, motorcycles, off-road, that now some of those roads, as you know, are now closed and are off limits. What roads are you referring to?
Initially, it's the ones that are the higher use roads, including the paved roads. But the Forest Service has like 9,000 miles of those kinds of roads that serve recreation areas and so on and so forth, as well as provide access for timber harvest and thinning. And then they have another 30,000 miles of the roads you're talking about, of the low-use roads. Sometimes they've brushed in. Sometimes they've got big water bars in them. But the main thing we think is let's get started on the roads that are high-use, because that's where the fire starts are, and get the number of starts down and get a road system that has fire breaks on it. So when you do have a start, the suppression people can get in quickly, and they should be able to catch it. And if one gets away, then they have a road system with fire breaks that is much safer for them to get in and out to attack that fire. And some of those will be evacuation routes as well.
Right. So these roads that you're talking about, I remember going on them when I was a kid up in the forest above the valley here. A lot of those roads are now overgrown. They've been washed out. They just haven't been kept up. I wonder, because a lot of people say, well, what's it going to cost to do the removal of these trees? Would it actually cost the taxpayer? Would the taxpayer have to go in and pay someone to go and remove those? Or would the free market work? Would there be people that would be willing to go up there and take those trees out just for the timber?
Yeah, the good news on the national forest is that the value of the commercial sized trees would be removed in this process of creating a fire break would pay for the whole project. Now, not so probably down on the county and local roads at the lower elevation, where you don't have the value in the vegetation, you got more brush. That's going to be costly for the state, county, and local road systems.
So the difference in that is fairly significant, because if you can picture this, I'm going to try to paint a picture for our audience, but I believe what you're talking about, Steve, is the areas where you have the huge fuel loads with the big giant trees that grow, the pines and the firs and others, you know, that's where you have the significant fuel load. At the lower elevations is what you're talking about, where you have more rangeland, brush, smaller trees. That's where there's really not an economic value to go in there, except for one thing that we'll get to in a second, and that would be using a lot of those lands to ensure that we have cattle on those lands. But I remember as a kid, you would see they would go along the roads, and they'd have tractors that would go out there with huge discs and plows, and they would go out there and they would turn that brush up so that you had a football field size break on each side of the road. That's what you're referring to, correct?
That's exactly right. And up on the forest, let me mention that it would not be about taking out the large trees. In fact, most of the large trees are the ones you'd want to keep and have a shaded fuel break. You take out mostly smaller trees and intermediate-sized trees to create an area so the fire can't then get up in the canopy. There's no ladder to get it up into the canopy, and you'd want the remaining trees 40 or 50 feet apart. And you're exactly right, the lower elevation with the brush and the oak and the annual grasses. There's other methods, including grazing and disking and so forth. But we have, obviously, a problem with the lower elevation as well.
But years ago, we used to do that. So somehow the taxpayer at some point, somebody was paying for that. Or the local cattle rancher, whoever was paying for the disking of those roads. And then, of course, now what you're saying, and I want to make sure that I just repeat this again for our audience, to go into the forest where the large trees are, you're saying that it would not take one taxpayer dollar to go in and go to these old roads. That, what did you say? There's 9,000 miles of roads, I believe.
Yeah.
On the forests here in California.
Yep. Open roads that are open to passenger cars. That's where you'd start. And then after you get that done.
Those are the 9,000 miles, right?
Yes.
Okay. No money to the taxpayer.
I don't think so. I think in general, there would be enough value in the commercial size trees greater than 10 inches in diameter that would pay for the whole project.
And do we have the capacity? Like how long would it take us to get to those, get through those 9,000 miles of roads?
Well, I think about 5 years. Each national forest could do 100 miles a year, and you'd take care of all 9,000 miles within 5 years.
And we have the capacity here to take that wood and turn it into lumber. We still have that capacity.
Yeah, because the capacity would, the existing capacity would shift and start taking that those trees instead of others that they otherwise would.
Because you know what we're going to hear, what we already have heard from the Brown administration, now the Newsom administration, is that, oh, we're going to have to spend billions and billions of dollars. I was just here at Visalia Lumber Company where they are talking about doing, where Jerry Brown's and the Democrats and the legislature went in and put a 1% fee on all lumber that comes out of this, the business here. That money was supposed to go to doing the maintenance of these forests. And so, you know, you're going to get a lot of naysayers out there, Steve, who say, oh, no, this is going to cost us billions of dollars. We're going to have to pass on huge taxes to the people of California. But what you're saying as a guy that's been in this business for several decades, that's not the case. We can actually go in there, utilize these 9,000 miles of roads, take the timber off of those roads, and we would dramatically deal with this, what is now really a crisis. We're really in a crisis, I believe.
Yeah, that's what we believe is the way to address this. And we've got to address the public safety, and this is by far the quickest way to do it.
And finally, the rangeland. So ensuring that cattle and other livestock have access to this land, what could be done on that end?
Well, in the federal forests, it's the range allotments. We just have to rekindle that whole industry to be able to utilize those lands. And it's all about, you know, that's a marketplace too. If you've got the supply of rangelands to offer, you will get people that own cattle that will want to graze on those lands. And that's died out over the last several decades as well. But it can be rebuilt.
That's one of the challenges, I think, for the lower level lands where you have more of the brush and the smaller oaks, has been that you just don't see the livestock on these lands like you used to in areas around Los Angeles or, you know, the big population centers. In a lot of cases, that's because you've had these land preserves that have went in where they want it to be all in a natural state. But in doing so, you kick the livestock off of that land in order to supposedly protect the species. But now you're seeing these huge wildfires that are burning out of control that are impacting major cities in this state. Isn't it just as easy to go in and let these livestock back into this land? And you know, even if the livestock to some degree may have some minor impact on the natural species that are there, I would think it's a lot better than burning up all the land and burning up the species.
Yeah, that's not my expertise, but you would certainly think that's common sense to do that. And I would offer too, you know, we have the luxury in California of having the income from cap and trade. And you've talked before about the smoke in the San Joaquin Air District. And, you know, if we can reduce these fires dramatically, that reduces the emissions. And so Governor Brown saw the handwriting on the wall. It should be spending $1 billion over 5 years of cap and trade for fuels reduction. Okay, so let's get with it.
Let's see him do it. Well, Steve, I want to thank you for being on again on our podcast. We may have to have you back on if these fires unfortunately continue. But we're going to continue in the House of Representatives, at least on the Republican side, to try to pass common sense legislation. We assume that legislation will be opposed by Nancy Pelosi. But, you know, now the Democrats have super majorities in the state. You know, we're anxious to hear what their solutions to these problems are going to be, because through the Jerry Brown administration, we've heard that it's global warming's the problem. We've heard weather's the problem. And that's just simply not the case. And so one of the things we try to do here on our podcast is to educate the people of California and the nation to know what really is the truth, what lies the truth, what are the solutions to complex, what are sometimes made complex government problems, which really, as Steve Brink has said, these are not complex problems. They are not a cause to increase taxes anymore. We don't have to spend a lot of taxpayer dollars. There are solutions that are out there that are very, very simple, that are free market, that can actually create jobs in the state, reduce the amount of fires that we have, improve our air quality, and at the same time provide a quality timber here in the state of California that 30, 40 years ago we used to have. So with all that, I want to thank everyone for listening, and we'll see you next time on the Devin Nunes Podcast.
Storm clouds been gathering so long, I don't know.
The darkness around us leaves no easy road.
We started wondering if every road dead ends our dreams. It whips the dust up and rains pouring down.
Good people struggling in every hometown.
We started wondering if we even matter at all. Days, 'cause we've kept our American faith. Now it's not our first trial by fire like this.
It's nothing hard work and family can fix.
We've got the power to save it all here in our hands. We'll take that hard road to happier days. 'Cause we kept our American faith. As we, the people, free and strong.
prayer and a purpose, we're already half the way there. We'll take that hard road to happier days, 'cause we've kept our American faith.
Paid for by Devin Nunes Campaign Committee.